He knows that she's physically not the strongest one. She's not the one that is to be the protector, the one that gives the security for the home and the main breadwinner and the one that has to issue discipline to the children, especially as they grow up and get older. And that's built in a man. And so he begins to find his place in this marriage. And every time he tries to make a decision, she dominates. She says, no, we're not going to do that. This is how we're going to do this. And she dominates the situation to a point where she is in control of everything, every situation. Doesn't matter what. And she's in control of the friends they make. She's in control of where they go, when they go, if they're going to go out and eat. She's in, you know, it gets to where he almost has to ask her, what are we going to do? And in a little while, he starts resenting that. And he has to find ways to deal with that. A lot of men find a lot of ways to deal with it. One of the things they do is they check out. They just check out. They get tired of being dominated, and they just check out of the situation. They get to where they find ways of escaping, get away from it. They become workaholics. And they also have to find something to do to where somebody can recognize them, where they can feel some worth. Either that or they... You know, they get sick. They get sick a lot. So that they can not do whatever it is she's hounding them to do. I'm too sick to do it. I can't. I'm dying. I'm in the bed. Get off my back. I'm not kidding. It's funny, but it's a truth. And it's a sad situation. What happens, though, is that woman, she gets aggravated at him because he won't take charge. But she don't realize she won't let him take charge. And when she won't let him take charge, he resents her for that. And when he resents her, he lashes out at her. When he lashes out at her, she resents him because he won't take charge. He always is complaining about her takeoverness. And she's complaining because he won't take charge. But she won't let him take charge. And it's a vicious circle. And I've had to work with so many families and counsel so many marriages that has this very exact problem. And let me just tell you this. You can't take a kid that grew up in a household like that and change their spirit about that overnight. You can't take a grown man that's lived like that or that's been in a marriage like that for all these years and get it turned around overnight. You can't just say, hey, he's the boss. You're not the boss. You submit to him. He don't know how to be boss. He don't know what he's doing. You know, a woman she's afraid. She's afraid to turn loose. She's afraid to let him try. She's afraid to put her trust in God. Because this man has never been in charge and he makes too many mistakes. And she's right. She's right. Men who come up like that don't know how to take charge and they make a lot of mistakes. But there's a way that a man can get the helpmate of his wife to help him make decisions. And they have to work it out. It takes years sometimes to work together. And discuss. Communication is probably the biggest, the lack of communication is the biggest hindrance in every marriage. Because you get to a place where you won't talk to each other because you resent one another for one reason or the other. And it works the other way. The strong man that won't ever let his wife do anything. There's where my mistake was. My mistake was I wouldn't let my wife do nothing. She didn't even know what bills we owed, much less how to pay them. I didn't figure she could ever learn how to balance a checkbook, so I never even showed her or never even asked her to. She gave up on that because she knew she wasn't ever going to get to do it. And what happened to me was I worked myself. I worked and worried about it all, and I never let her help me with it. And then when I got older, I thought, you know, I've done her such a great injustice. If I die, she's going to be in a mess until she gets off. She's more than capable of doing it. And I have, you know, as we got older, we've worked on it more. There's a few times we sat down. There was a time came in our marriage where I said, I'm sick and tired of this being this way, and I'm not going on with it this way anymore. I sat her down and told her, I said, I'm not going to live with you anymore if this don't change. And she said, well, I'm glad you brought this up, because I ain't going to live with you anymore if some of these things don't change. I'm sick and tired of living this way. And I said, well, I told you earlier, I never really considered that. When I told her that, I really wasn't thinking about divorcing her. I've never seriously thought in my heart. I've never even let my mind go there to think, I'm going to divorce her and here's how it's going to all, you know, you got to plan all that out to really consider it. I ain't never done that. I never let my mind go there, because you start that and you'll start, in other words, once you conceive a thought and it bears conception, you're liable to go through with it. And that's why I never allowed myself to conceive it. But I got to a place that I did tell her that. I said, I'm not going on this way. I didn't know what I was going to do if she didn't. But I thought, I knew one thing. I knew that woman loved me enough that she had fear that something was going to happen to sever our marriage. And when she began to tell me about my problems that she was having, I began to think about it. And I thought, she's right. This ain't a one-sided street. She ain't the only ones at fault here. I got a lot of things. I've done her wrong a lot. And I need to work on my problems. We agreed. We came together and we agreed that day. We're going to work on this. We're going to trust God. And we're going to start communicating and telling one another, you're doing it again. You're doing it right there. And she'd tell me, you're doing it. You're doing it. I'd say, all right. And I'd tell her, look, there we are. And we began to work on it. And God began to help us. And we began to repair the problem in our marriage. And, you know, we're just like everyone else. I realize we're living in a world today that it teaches people to be irresponsible. Our society, this president that just got elected, he got elected on telling the poor people, I'm going to keep taking care of those that are in poverty. I'm going to keep you on welfare. I'm going to keep helping those on welfare. If you don't believe that, just go check these that were on welfare and how many of them. And I'm not necessarily faulting this man. This man, God put him in. I'm not, you know, God put the man in, but what I'm saying is our system. He was a wise enough man to realize the people that was going to vote for him were people that were working the system. He knew that. I don't think that's fully his intent. I think he feels like he needs to help the system. But he was wise enough to know how to get votes, my point. Our system of society, not just the United States government, the society, flesh. I'm talking about flesh. It's a system that we're shunning responsibilities. And it's caused I've watched this in America. I've watched women rise up. That's why we're getting women, more and more women in power. It's because men are weaker. Men are weaker than they've ever been before. And women are having to rise up and take charge of things. I don't fault the women in it. I fault men in it. But I fault society altogether. And sin. There's where you can put the real blame of this. But if we could learn how to begin to work on this and find God's answer to it. That if we can start trying together, and I mean this even in the ministry, in churches, that the ministry can realize that the church doesn't need to be dominated, but it needs to be served. It needs to... Let's read the scripture in Ephesians 5. I think we ought to put that together with this. I was going to say a minute ago, the dominating man, which I don't think you'll find that too much anymore, but the woman is, if she grows up in a household where a man is so dominating and he keeps everybody in the household beat down, she's comfortable with him, and she finds a dominating man. That's what she's comfortable with. And he's looking for a little weakling that he can dominate. That's how they hook up together. But she resents him. No, you don't get very far in the marriage that she starts resenting him for just dominating her and everything. He ain't got any sense. She can't make a decision on that. She's no help in anywhere. Nothing she says has any validity to it. I was hitting more of you on the other deal, wasn't I? I know. But it's the same vicious circle. She resents him. He resents her because she helped him. Why don't you help me? Why don't you rise up and help me some? She can't. She's thinking, you won't let me help you. Nothing I say is valid. Nothing I say is a good idea. You don't consider me a nothing. I'm just it. I'm just a thing. See what's wrote on my back? Every shirt I wear, slave. It's the same vicious circle. It's just turned around. Yeah, that's it. You make me feel stupid anytime I try. On whichever side of the vicious circle you're on, that works both ways. Men feel stupid because their wife makes them feel stupid. Every time they try to rise up and take charge. I remember one time I preached on men being the head of their home. I really got on this years ago when our church was young. We were still in Texas. And men whose wives were taking care of the bills and things, they went home and said, you're supposed to obey me. So they started taking charge of the women, throwing the bills at them, the checkbook, everything, said, you take care of it then. Boy, in about 6 months, I had everybody at church was in debt up to their ears. They had checks bouncing everywhere. No, women, you know, women, they was pulling their hair out, they was fighting, they was all talking about getting divorced. Well, you can't. There's nothing wrong with a woman taking care of the bills. But, the man ought to help her. She ought to be able to communicate to him. Look, they ought to sit down together. I know men don't want to do it. They want to just say, that's your department. I don't think there's anything wrong with you delegating that out to the woman, but I don't think you ought to delegate it out to her to the point that when she can't make ends meet and you won't even consider. Sister Elsie, behave now. See, she looked it out and said, yeah. All right, well, now's 2 cents. Y'all will get it every once in a while. Thank God that didn't go on tape. He actually did create man and woman and then rested, Bible. But if y'all realize if we don't get this right, let me read this in Ephesians, the fifth chapter of Ephesians, 22nd verse. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You see, God wants us to... He realized when he put man and woman together that it was going to be a struggle. But working out this struggle will work out order. It'll work out God's order in your life. A lot of people just get to a place they get tired. In a lot of these situations, I've watched a lot of people when they get older, they just put up with each other. They don't have it worked out. They're not in peace. They're not in harmony. They just put up with one another because they get tired of fighting and resenting. And they just finally just say, sweep it under the rug. I don't want to fight no more about it. You got your little world. I've got my little world. You know, I have to put up with you, and I have to put up with you, and you do your thing, and I do mine. But we really aren't in harmony. We really don't have peace. And God really can't answer our prayers because we really don't have faith in God to help us with our situation. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ. So let the wives be to their husbands in everything. That sounds a pretty strong order, and it is a tall order. The next one's even taller. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We are to have a love enough for our wives that we'd give our life. That, in other words, everything Christ did was to edify and build up the church and make sure that the church understood what he understood in God. And that's every man's job. Every man's job is to get a hold of God and make sure his wife has the understanding of the Word of God and the order of God that he understands, and he does it in love. Patience, long-suffering, temperance, kindness. He deals with her in a way that I've always said, I don't think any woman that loved God would have had trouble living with Jesus. There's plenty of women that couldn't have took him. There's plenty of people couldn't have took him. They couldn't take him because he was too dedicated to God. But if a woman loved God and was dedicated, she wouldn't have trouble being married to Jesus. And I would like to be the kind of man and the kind of husband God wants me to be. I know I still have failures. I know I still need God. There's times that I see things. I get off sometimes away from my wife and I see situations and I thank God. I need to do better. I need to treat her better. I need to love her more. I need to get my love across to her. I need her to know how much I appreciate her. A lot of times I take care of everything else and everybody else, and she's last, and when I get to her, I'm too tired. She just has to wait. And the waiting never ends, and the time never comes. And but that's because of my lack of responsibility, my lack of management of my time, my lack of priorities, making sure that I give her the rightful place and the rightful attention and communication that she deserves is my number one friend and helpmate, part of my own flesh that I'm joined up together with, that we're no more one than anything if I don't do what God's asked me to do. And if I don't take the authority in God, God's asked me to take, if I don't help her to understand that that's my place, it's my responsibility, but I need your help. And if we've come up together in this world where we started off on the wrong foot and we can't help it, we need to understand it and we need to work on it, but we won't solve it today. But we can at least work on it. We can at least communicate with each other. We can at least admit that we know there's a problem and it's not going to get better if we don't work on it, if we don't acknowledge it. And in 1 Peter, where it tells women, some of you women whose husbands aren't here, rehearse those scriptures. Put them into practice. If you want to see God save your husband, I can tell you, God will save him. Or he'll grind him to powder. God means what he says in these scriptures. There's a way you can deal with your husband or wife. It works on women the same way. You can live in a chaste conversation and adorn yourself in a quiet and meek spirit towards them and pray for them, and God will deal with them until there's nothing left to deal with. He'll save them or he'll destroy them. God loves you enough that he'll work with you. And I'll tell you this, he'll work with you in tenderness and mercy and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness. And he'll help you save your spouse if your spouse isn't. Don't say it. My spouse can't be saved. The very first word out of your mouth is full of unbelief and doubt. Start saying, God, I believe you can save my husband or my wife. I believe you're capable of doing that for me. You'll never see them saved if you don't have faith. Believe. God's able. Believe it about your children. I can tell you right now, we're not exercising enough faith today. And God, We sang that song. I felt a wonderful covering of the Lord when we started singing that band song, Our God Reigns. Let me tell you how he reigns. He has to reign in every one of our lives according to the order that is righteous. It just means it's the right order. It works. But we have to learn how to work it out. We have to learn how to put it into practice. It has to function in our lives. Some of you may, if you don't have a husband and wife, you still need to listen to me because God may be dealing with you. You may need one. Yeah, you may be so selfish that you're not even willing to get in God's order to share your life with somebody. Or, you know, at least there is an order of God, whether it's in the church and the ministry, or, you know, I do believe there's eunuchs. God makes some men eunuchs, some men themselves eunuchs to the Lord, and women too. But I don't see very many of them today. I think we need to look for God's will in our lives, and we have to work on this relationship that God's dealing with us. Christ loved his, he loved the church, gave himself for it, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So, Sister Schuyler, are you getting this? Yeah, all right. That's good. God, you know, I'm talking about relationships, and it's relationship with God and Christ. But there's a great mystery Christ is talking about here. That Paul's talking about, that he saw the order of the church, and he saw it. He saw the order of the marriage is to work the same way, that men are to love their wives in such a way that they work with it, labor with it, communicate with it. And that, let me say this, that is the biggest error that I see in marriages today is lack of communication. Not willing to communicate with one another. Not willing to talk about it. I hear people tell me all the time, he won't talk to me. I can't talk to him about this. She won't talk to me. I can't talk to her about this. You just get your relationship gets in a situation where you just, you know, you're in a standoff. You just, you know, and after a while you just kind of develop your little life and they develop theirs, and you not going in the same direction, but you're just abiding with one another. I want to encourage you, saints, you husbands and wives, take these scriptures to heart and ask God, would you help me with this? Would you help me in my... There's probably not a one of us in here that don't need this. Probably not a one of us that don't need more of God in our marital relationship, and we need to honor one another and work God's will in our relationships and ask Him to help us and communicate. All right, let's see, Brother Boats, get it out again. What's the first one? You never do what I say. You're just like your mama or your daddy. You're not listening to a word I'm saying. You never listen to me. I can't take it anymore. I've had it. It's all your fault. I don't want to talk about it. I'm tired of talk. I'm tired of this, and I don't want to talk about it. When are we going to talk about it? We need to talk. I don't want to talk about it. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. talk about it tomorrow. Tomorrow, I said, are we going to talk? No, we're not talking about it now. Matter of fact, I'm leaving. I feel like we ought to ask God here today to help us. Look, do you all realize there's a world out here that they absolutely are not going to make it in marriage if they don't find God, and if they don't find a people of God that's really got a hold of this, really got a hold of enough of God to know how to pray together. Let me give you that little clue. If your marriage needs repair, reach over every night, get your wife by the hand and say, honey, let's pray before we go to sleep. Let's ask God to help us. And begin to pray together. Pray out loud together. I'm telling you, it'll help your marriage. I'm telling you right now, it'll help your marriage. If you'll begin to pray, pray for one another. Consider one another. Communicate. Listen to what one another's saying to each other. Give time for each other. There's nothing wrong with your wife helping you in any and every area of your life as long as she's letting you be the headship of that and communicating that with you. And that y'all are working together and you're both in unity on your decision making. What's wrong with her? Honey, I don't feel good about what you're doing. I don't feel good about that decision. I used to say, it don't make me any difference. You feel good. I'm going to tell you, I've learned she don't good. She starts talking. I start listening. She's turned nice. I thought she's right. This is a mistake. This is wrong. I was fixing to make it. They helped me, kept me from making it. There's nothing wrong with telling your wife. You're right. I was wrong. That don't make her the boss. That just means you're a good helpmate. You've helped me. I was going down the wrong road, and you showed me that you made a wrong turn. We used to do that. We used to be traveling down the road, and she'd say, I'd be lost as a goose. And she'd say, why don't you stop? I'm going, all right. We'll find out here. Then when I found out she is right, you know, I started looking, is there any way for me to get turned around and go another way without her knowing it? Because I didn't want her to know that she is right. Now, Sister Inez, don't laugh at me. There's nothing wrong with saying, honey, you is right, I was wrong. That don't make her the boss. There's nothing wrong with her. You letting her be the boss in certain areas. Jesus delegates authority. It don't hurt you to delegate some. Michael said you wind up in BB. I don't know how many times I went to go back to Republic and I'd drive from here to Conway and I'd take that first Conway exit to BB. One time I got to BB and I turned that exit and I was talking on the phone just to go in. I got to BB and I finally stopped. Got out and went in the store and I said, where am I at? They said, this is BB. I said, well, what's the closest way to Conway? They said, go right out there and turn left and follow it about 30, 40 minutes that way. I said, I just come from there. They said, well, then you got off in Conway and came to BB. I said, well, how's the closest way to get to 65? They said, go right down that road back to Conway. I said, there has to be a closer way. Well, this one old man said, well, there's another way to get there. I said, tell it to me. He said, turn, go right there. He said, take that road, follow it straight. He said, that's going to wind around. You're going to wind up in this little town. When you get there, turn left, and there'll be another road. Follow it. Turn back to the right. He gave me four or five roads. I said, I'm going that way. I said, does that take you north of Conway? He said, yes. He said, but it'll take you an hour to get there. I said, I don't care, as long as it gets me north, I'm going north. I got on that road and followed that winding cow trail around. And when I come out to 65, right in front of me, an hour and 10 minutes later, was a sign that said Conway, 12 miles. I'd already drove 2 hours and I was 12 miles from Conway. Did y'all know BB northwest of here? Northeast, I mean? It's not even just north. I mean, I went to Conway and turned back east. I'm glad she wasn't with me. She probably wouldn't have said anything because she knows it won't do much good. And I'm trying, honey, to do better. Yes, it is part of overcoming. This the order of God. If you can't get your marriage right, you'll never get the order of God right either. That's why you're printer. That's why God's He's smart to sanction this holy matrimony. God knew there's something to be worked out in authority and communication together, relationships, learning how to, you know, there's no way I can understand my wife having to work under my headship if I don't learn how to work under the headship of Christ. No way I ever understand the position that woman is in if I'm not trying to work in God's headship and recognize there's a ministry over me, there's men that's ruling in the house of God, and I've got to learn how to submit to them and counsel with them and communicate with them. By the way, I'll throw this in there. Some of y'all needs to be counseling and communicating with your pastor, and you're not doing it. You're too independent spirited. You need help, and you need to talk to the men of God about it. God wants us to get this right. And He wants us to be in harmony. He wants us to stay in love with each other. Let's all stand. I want every man in here, if you're not next to your wife, go stand next to her. Yeah, is the women downstairs in the kitchen, would you come upstairs for just a few minutes? Can they? Yeah. Let's just all, why don't we just come right down here. Bring your wives and stand down here. We're going to pray together. If your spouse is not with you, I want you to come stand behind husbands and wives. Let's offer up a prayer here today. Let's ask God to help us. Don't you feel like we need more help of God? I do. I'm telling you right now, me and Sister Smith love each other. We're not having no problems. But I'm telling you, I know I need to do more than I'm doing for her. And I hope she feels that way about me. But I'm not just saying that. I'm trying. I'm asking God to help me. Got them coming. Good. You young people, I want y'all to come stand behind us. I want you to pray for your mothers and fathers. Yeah. Yeah. If you're not married, I want us all to come down here and pray. Let's ask God. I'd just like to see if God wouldn't do something special for us. If you're not married, then you surely see the problems I'm bringing up today. Come help us pray. I want to wait on the women to get up here. Let's have faith today too. Start off in your prayer here with faith, believing that God is going to begin to work something different in your life, in your relationship with your spouse. Our children needs it. Wouldn't you like to start getting your prayers answered? Not that he don't answer our prayers, but it hinders. They get hindered. Here they come. Here she comes, Brother Tally. All right. Let's take our spouse's hand. Let's ask God. Let's pray together. Oh, God, Jesus. Lord, would you help this church? God, would you help us today? Help every marriage. Help every relationship, Lord. Oh, God. Work your order in our lives. Oh, Jesus. God, help me, Lord. Oh, God, I want to get this right. Jesus, Jesus, touch each man, every husband and every wife in this assembly, Lord. God, help the relationship, heal hurts, and help us to communicate with one another in a greater way. Oh, Jesus, touch us, Lord. Would you touch us here today? God, would you begin to work in our marriages in a way that you've never worked before. Every husband and every wife that's here whose spouse not with them, God, would you begin to work on them? God, begin to save them. God, reach out to them. Begin, let your saving grace work through the spouse that's living for you. God, help them. Oh, God, to begin to adorn themselves with your word and your spirit in such a way that it causes you to begin to work in their husband or their wives' lives. God, work in our homes. Give us harmony. Help us have unity, Lord. Help us to communicate with one another and honor and love one another like we've never done before. And renew that love, God. Renew that desire for each other. Oh, Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, cover this message today, Lord. Cover your word. God, let it begin to work. Let the Holy Ghost begin to prick our hearts and our lives. God, help us. Help this ministry and this body, Lord. I know you're working something in all of us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, God. Somebody get on the piano and let's sing that chorus. Bind us together, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Jesus. Together, Lord, bind us together, cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken.
cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together in love. Now bind us. Lord, bind us together in cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together.
Although not any of us exempt from what I'm, I hope you're getting what I'm saying. That the relationship of the headship of the home and the helpmate is so difficult to find the balance to. It takes God. There's no way you can get the proper balance without God's help. It's because of just life and society and the flesh have prevented. Only God can help us with it. But He's able to repair every broken thing. Just remember that. Amen. All right, let's give Him a praise and thank Him for the food downstairs that we're about to partake. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. Oh, Lord, bless our fellowship. Bless the food today, Lord. Each one that's here, oh, God, help us, Lord, to become a strong church that you can use to help others. Oh, God, we pray today, Lord, that you'll strengthen and help us, each one. Amen, amen. All right. Our seniors would begin to make their way downstairs. We'll follow you.